Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. This morning it is so good to be God's people. I don't know what we would do without that. It's so good to be his sheep and to trust him as a shepherd. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. His truth, his mercy, and his goodness is enduring to your generation, Brother Abner. It's enduring to you as children, and even to the young children, the grandchildren that are sitting on the laps up here. The goodness and the faithfulness of God is enduring for every generation to all times, and we're thankful for that. Greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. The dynamics of everything that took place in the last few days are still not quite settled in our minds, are they? And there's times of weeping, times of tears, and that's nothing to be ashamed of. It's understandable. It's how God made us. But we sang, "Oh, bear my longing heart to him who bled and died for me, whose blood now cleanses from all sin and gives us victory." Sister Mary had a desire. She's, "Bear my longing heart to him who bled and died for me." What better? You know, we weep, but we also have rejoicing in our hearts for her. The last few days I've thought about different things that happened in gardens. And there's at least three gardens stories in the Bible. There's one especially that I've been thinking about. And there was a woman named Mary that came to a garden one morning early before it was daylight. She wanted to do something for Jesus. She wanted to anoint his body yet. And as she came to the garden, as she came to the tomb, she saw that the stone was rolled away, and her first perception of that is that they took away the body of Jesus, and we don't know where they have put him. She was there weeping. And there was a voice behind her, said her name, or ask her why she's weeping. And she turned, and she supposed that was the gardener. And she said, "If you took him away from here, tell us where you have laid him." And this being spoke her name, and she recognized it as her Jesus. She fell at his feet, said, "My beloved Jesus, my master, my teacher." The songwriter says, "He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing." My version of what took place last Thursday forenoon . There was a woman, Mary, that also came to her garden. She was alone. She had plans to do something, to plant seeds, we think. And as she left her garden, above the sound of the tiller, there must have been the sound of angels' wings. And if the birds heard it at that moment, I'm sure they hushed their singing for a bit as Jesus called her name. And she responded, "My dear Jesus, I'll go with you." It was not in our plans, it was not in anyone's plans, but it was the plan that God had for Mary, your mother, your wife, Brother Abner, for that day. And so today our desire is to say amen to the will of God, to the plan of God. James wrote, "For that ye ought to say, if the Lord wills and we live, we will do this or that." It's a very vivid reminder to all of us, again, the reality, how profound and how real that those words are. If we live, we will do this or that. We might not live. That's the reality of our journey, our sojourning here in this world. Job said, "He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more." Job 7:10. And it's hard for us to imagine that we as a human being can leave our house with plans for the day and never go through those doors again. But it happens. It's part of our existence here. This morning, the title of the message, it's all about Jesus, it's not about me. The family sent a few pages of Mary's journal. I think a lot of us realize that the last couple months were not easy for her, but she fought a good fight. As I looked at some of the things she wrote on those pages, the verses that she wrote, she fought a good fight. And it's not wrong to struggle, but your mother, Mary, taught you how to fight and to endure and to overcome. And that's a powerful testimony, a powerful legacy for you to follow. But what really caught my attention at the bottom of the one page, there were these words. It's all about Jesus, it's not about me. And those words took me to the book of Philippians. And I started looking down over some verses in Philippians and realized that that's what the book of Philippians is about. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me. And so we want to take a little walk through this garden of the book of Philippians. For the most part of the message, and our focus is going to be on the words, it's all about Jesus. It's not about me. We'll start in Philippians 1, verse 21. It says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." I'll read through verse 23. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And in the context of our gathering here this morning for Sister Mary, what she experienced is gain. For us, it feels and it looks and it seems like loss, and it is for our experience here. But for her, it is gain. Gain means more Gain means better. Gain means far beyond what her experience was here in this life. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It is not about me, it's about Jesus. Verse 23, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So from these verses, none of us have passed beyond the doors of this life, none of us that are here. But from these verses, we understand that to live, we live for Christ, to die is gain, and to depart means to be with Christ. And to be with Christ is far better. Not just kind of the same, not just good, but it's far better to be with Christ than to be in this life. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We have the privilege of walking with Jesus in this life, and it doesn't matter what happens to us. If we die, we're with Christ, which is far better. It's all about Jesus. It's far better with Jesus. Philippians 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so we ask the question, what was the mind of Christ like? What was the mind of Christ like that we are called to have within us? You see, it's not about our mind and our thoughts. It's all about Jesus. Let this mind be in you. The previous verses before that in chapter 2 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Nothing through strife or vainglory. That's what it takes to have the mind of Christ. Our carnal nature is so prone to exalt ourselves and promote ourselves. But it's all about Jesus. It's not about us. And I think Sister Mary did a very good job in living that out and showing that to you as a family, to us as a church, to the people in her community, in her neighborhood. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. It's all about Jesus again. Thinking about others rather than thinking about ourselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. It's not about me. It's about Jesus and others. And the testimonies that we heard yesterday in church were just a reminder of that again. She had a desire to help others. That was her goal in life. Verse 14 to 16 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. Without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So what does it take to be blameless and harmless? Does it mean we don't carry the sword? We don't defend ourselves? That's part of it, but that's not what it's talking about here. It's as simple as do all things without murmurings and complainings. That is, in essence, what the Bible is telling us here, that will lead us to being blameless and harmless people. Doing all things without murmurings and complainings. I don't know if your mother ever complained or not. Most of us do sometime, not usually when a lot of people hear us. Abby told me a few weeks ago what a wonderful wife that he has, and expressed his thanks, just his appreciation. And I was blessed by that. doing all things without murmurings and complainings, it takes a heart that is all about Jesus and not about me. But it's the way to be blameless and harmless. It's not so much about not taking the sword, but it's simply as simple as doing all things without murmurings and disputings. Holding forth the word of life, we are not ashamed of who we are. We fly the flag, the banner high. And it's the flag that we fly is the testimony of Jesus in our heart. Like was mentioned in the devotional, to the point where we don't even have to ask a person if they're a Christian. We see it in the life that they live. Holding forth the word of life. It's the way to run with purpose and not in vain. Going over to chapter 3, continuing our thought of it's all about Jesus, it's not about me. Verses 10 and 11 say that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And we often focus on the knowing him and the power of his resurrection, and that's good. But Paul also expressed that along with that, he wants to know the fellowship of his sufferings. Life is not all about feeling good. Life is not all ease. Life is difficult at times. But when we have Jesus, when we know him, and it's all about Jesus, when we have his power, the power of the resurrection within us, then when we suffer and when we struggle, it's in fellowship with him. Even when we don't always understand what it's all about, we suffer with him, in fellowship with him. It's all about Jesus. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He writes further there that he did not apprehend. He says in verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but what this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And if we have a heart, if we have a mind that's all about Jesus, we will do that. We will forgive when there's offenses and we'll move on. We won't dwell on those things. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to the things before. Forgetting our old life and reaching forth to Christ. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As sheep of his pasture, as his people, let's press for that mark of the prize. There are so many things in this life that distract us. So many things that entertain us and that we love to play with and that we love to enjoy, but we cannot afford to be distracted from pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus, because this life and its pleasures and the things of this world are very short. Our life is very short. Eternity is very long. Long isn't even a might not be a word to describe it, but in comparison, it's the best we can do. Life is short, eternity is long. Press for the mark of the prize of the high calling. Verse 20 says, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his people. We are looking for him. We are looking for the Lord Jesus from heaven. We're not looking for a political leader to clean up or to fix a mess. We are looking for our Jesus, our Savior, from heaven. Our redemption is in Christ Jesus. Our treasure is in Christ and in heaven. We are looking for him from there. Our homeland is in heaven. Verse 21 says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." We talked about the angels coming for Mary there in the garden. And they left the body here. The body is what we have in the coffin today yet. They took the spirit, the soul, they took that to God, and they left the body here. Somehow there is a change that takes place. He says, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." It's all about Jesus. He is able to subdue all things unto himself. He is able to walk with you through this difficult time. He is able to strengthen and help you. For the last part of the message, I'd just simply like to look at some promises, verses from Scripture yet, verses of comfort. John 14 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." These are Jesus' words. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That last phrase expresses the longing in the heart of Jesus that he is preparing a place for us. And he told his disciples, he's telling us that he is coming again to take us to himself so that we can be together, so that we can be in his presence. John wrote in his epistle, "We don't know exactly what we're going to be, how it's going to be, but we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." First Thessalonians 14, chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Tells us there not to sorrow as those that have no others which have no hope. You know, we sorrow, and you're going to go through grief. You're going to experience it, and it's going to be a process again and again. Things are going to take place, and you're going to sorrow. But don't sorrow without hope. When hope is in the equation, it changes everything. We can make it through with Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches us. It tells us that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, we have an example of that here, it says, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before those which are asleep. It says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall resurrect first. They're going to come out of the graves, and then it says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We said in the beginning of the message that to be with Christ is far better. And if we're faithful, we're going to be there too. To be ever with the Lord, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Revelation 21 and 22, a few verses yet. John says in Revelation 21, verse 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. John uses the things that he says are not going to be there to give us an understanding of what it's going to be like. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Down in verse 23, again, it's all about Jesus. It's not about me. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did light in it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. It's about Jesus. Jesus will be the light of our eternal home. Beautiful place. A few verses in Proverbs yet, just to encourage you, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. One of the children said that was one of Mary's favorite verses, or a verse that she hung on to. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord in every situation, not just some of them, but all of them. Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. We face times in life where there's difficulties, there's affliction, there's sorrow, and we run into the strong tower of the name of the Lord. We go there for help and for refuge. May God help all of us to live with that theme that it's all about Jesus, it's not about me. And we will bless those around us. Something I'd like to read yet. It's a story. It says, the young mother set foot on the path of life. Is the way long, she asked. And the guide said, yes, and the way is hard. You will be old before you reach the end of it, but the end will be better than the beginning. The young mother was happy, and she would not believe that anything could be better than these years. So she played with the children, gathered flowers for them along the way, and bathed them in the clear streams. And the young mother cried, nothing will ever be lovelier than this. Then the night came and the storm. The path was dark. The children shook with fear and cold. And the mother drew them close and covered them with her mantle. And the children said, Mother, we are not afraid, for you are near. No harm can come. And the morning came and there was a hill ahead. And the children climbed and grew weary. And the mother was weary. But at times she said to the children, A little patience, and we are there. So the children climbed. And when they reached the top, they said, Mother, we would not have done it without you. The mother, when she lay down at night, looked up at the stars and said, This is a better day than the last, for my children have learned fortitude in the face of hardness. Yesterday I gave them courage, today I have given them strength. The next day came strange clouds which darkened the earth, clouds of war and hate and evil. The children groped and stumbled, and the mother said, Look up, lift your eyes to the light. And the children looked and saw above the clouds an everlasting glory, and it guided them beyond the darkness. And that night the mother said, This is the best day of all, for I have shown my children God. And the days went on, and the weeks, and the months, and the years. And the mother grew old, and she was little and bent. Doesn't quite apply here. But her children were tall and strong and walked with courage. That does apply here. And when the way was rough, they lifted her, for she was light as a feather. And at last they came to a hill, and beyond they could see a shining road and golden gates flung wide. And mother said, I've reached the end of my journey, and now I know the end is better than the beginning, for my children can walk alone, and their children after them. The children said, you will always be with us, mother, even when you have gone through the gates. And they stood and watched her. She went on alone, and the gate closed after her. And they said, we cannot see her, but she is still with us. A mother like ours is more than a memory. She is a living presence. May God bless you as a family, you Brother Abner, as you continue on. We as a church want to be committed to supporting you and walking with you as good as we can. And for you as children, God bless each one of you and your families and your individual lives, John and Paul and Keturah. Remember the example that your mother left. She wanted the best for you, and she left a good example for you to follow. May God bless each one of you and give you his grace.